You're listening to the Children's Book Marketing Podcast, the podcast that teaches self-published children's book authors how to use branding to connect with readers, leverage content to sell more books, and grow a business that goes beyond the book. Being a children's book author means you've found a unique way to deliver messages with words and illustrations. But to thrive as an independent publisher, you'll need to master the art of attracting and engaging with readers so that you can sell more books. Join me to learn proven marketing strategies that can be implemented without hassle or complexity to take your publishing endeavors to new heights. I'm your host, Michaela Simone Ben, mompreneur marketing maven, fellow self-published children's book author, and content creator. Are you ready to define success on your own terms? Then let's get to it. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 7 of the Children's Book Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Michaela, and I am covering today something that I'm sure you've thought about once or twice during your self-publishing journey. The question is, do you print your books using a print-on-demand service, or do you go direct to printer, whether that printer is in the United States or someplace else in the world? Either decision has different implications, and I have been thinking about that for a while, mostly because I'm ready to get my books printed, and because my book printing will take place over the next 30 to 60 days. There are a number of things I felt were important to share so that when the time comes for you to evaluate the decision, and if you have already made the decision, reconsider possibly whether to do one or the other or both, you have everything you need to know which steps to take and to move forward. So let's go ahead and get started. Here's what we'll cover today. We'll talk about when exactly it makes sense to choose a print-on-demand service provider over going direct to printer and why some authors may choose to do both. I'll also share what you can do to mitigate the risks involved with ordering your books for print direct from a printer and keeping them at your home as inventory versus working with a partner who can help you manage that inventory and other parts of the fulfillment. Fulfillment and book marketing go hand in hand, and there are a lot of reasons why. So stay tuned. I've got an episode where you will want to take notes and listen very carefully. And at the end of it, I'll share with you a really helpful resource that can take you to the next step in understanding what needs to happen and in implementing which of these two may be the best decision for you. So if you're new to the children's book publishing world, print-on-demand may be something that you've heard about in passing, but may not be entirely familiar with, so I'll explain what it is. Print-on-demand services are what authors as well as other creators rely on for an outsourced printing solution. Anything from books to t-shirts and apparel, drinkware, and any magnitude of items can be used for print on demand. When you work with a print on demand company, the print on demand order gets submitted online. And when that order gets pushed through, all of the particulars and all of the details about your book will be received. Every stitch of information from what type of paper you want to have used to what type of a binding you want used will all essentially be created in your order. And when the print-on-demand company takes all of their resources, pulls them together, and creates your book, they're doing the same thing for lots of other printers. And in many cases, other items as well are going through their systems. And so they have a tremendous amount of volume. And one thing that lends to is the lack of quality control that should be in place to ensure that every detail that they've received is executed flawlessly. It's not uncommon to have mistakes with printers in general, but with print-on-demand in particular, some of the quality of the color may be distorted. Some of the concerns that self-published authors have expressed is that page order is out of sync with the way it should be. And there's just an overall inconsistency. Now, that may be due to a number of things, whether it's the incorrect file size or something within the information that's been transmitted to the print-on-demand service. Concern there is that there's nobody who's going to call you to let you know there appears to be an error that someone should address. Because they do so much volume, they really don't have the staff or the time to intercede in a way that gives over and above what customer service you might get were you to work directly with a printer. Now, working directly with a printer is something that gives you, in many cases, a direct point of contact to someone who works within the organization and is going to execute your project with the service in mind that helps to build their reputation. They're not usually just taking files and putting the print items together, getting them over to you, and never looking at them again. There are people actually in place to manage the quality control so that someone is thumbing through each of the pages to make sure that they are in the order that they're supposed to be in, that the quality of the ink that you are anticipating is what comes through. And that's something that's really important for us because most of our books have vivid colors and very detailed illustration. The respect that I have for experienced printers comes as a result of me having been a product manager for a company that was solely responsible for not only distributing paper and graphics, but also print equipment for a nationwide audience of commercial printers. And there aren't a lot of companies that operate the way the company that I previously worked for did. However, one of the things that I got a chance to do was meet a lot of them to understand their needs and to understand their passion behind what they do. And something that I can speak to very directly is their professionalism and their perfection. Experienced printers who specialize in book printing, they know what the right type of paper should be for your illustrations to come alive. They know what the right type of binding and ink applications and the correct calibrations of the colors need to be in order for your illustrations to truly pop. And since part of our product is our book, we have to be really conscious of who we give access to. And hopefully, if you're anything like I am, you're working with someone who wants to enhance it in a way that not only helps the reader's experience, but also helps to promote the excellence in what they do as a company, as a printer. So as you think about which decision is better for you, going direct to printer means you should really give a lot of effort and energy to interviewing the printer that you're going to work with, that you're going to entrust with your book baby, and that you're going to work with a printer who has the kind of experience and the responsiveness and the professionalism that you're looking for. And so I have a preference between the two, but it's not just because of the quality, it's also because of the relationships that may form. Working directly with the printer can, in some cases, give you additional functionality that a printer can offer. For instance, my books are children's books that very distinctly have elements in the illustrations that come alive for the reader. On the cover, as well as in a number of the illustrations of my book, there is a notepad that either my main character is holding, who is the child in the book, or his dad is referencing, who is the other main character in the book. And so as a result, there is a line of stationery items that I'm also having printed in addition to the book. Now, because I have a relationship direct with the printer, I understand that they are fully capable of creating that line of stationery in addition to other enrichment tools that I want them to print for me. There's a line of matching cards that help kids learn about tools and help to exercise their memory and their vocabulary. And there's a few other things that I also want to have printed that it just makes sense to put in the same organization that is responsible for the quality of my book. Now, being able to leverage their capabilities is something that is attractive to me. However, that may not be something that you plan on doing. You may have merchandise to some other extent, whether that's apparel, and it might make sense for you to go with a print-on-demand company who can print on t-shirts and print on drinkware and print on blankets or bags or whatever it is that most closely aligns with the theme and the characters that are in your book. So first things first, you have to decide which is the one for you. And some people may choose to do both. In the instance where you're an author that chooses to do a little bit of print on demand and some degree of working direct with the printer, it may be because you push many of your customers to purchase your books on Amazon. And instead of handling the fulfillment on your own, it appeals to you to allow them to do it on your behalf, which means that they're printing the book for you. They're also packaging and shipping the book for you, and they are sending it to the end reader. That doesn't allow you to have any control, however, other than putting your book on their platform and trusting them to get it right. But if the lack of control concerns you, know that there are alternatives, and one of them is to work directly with the printer and that printer on the front end to make sure they will provide you with all of the necessary quality that you expect, that your readers are expecting, so that when you're getting the book into the hands of the people that you really want to have it, they're satisfied and they're not distracted by small mistakes and they're not giving you bad reviews as a result of things that fall outside of your realm of control. So there's that. Hey, it's Nikella. Real quick, I got a question for you. Have you already subscribed to the Children's Book Marketing Podcast? If you haven't, then I want to invite you to do that right now on your favorite streaming service. That way, you never miss an episode. Each time an episode goes live, you'll always be notified and it will be there waiting for you, so you never have to try to go find it and lose track of it among the hundreds of other things that you have going on. When you subscribe, you're showing your support, of course, and I appreciate that. So I want to thank you for tuning in. Now, back to the podcast. You may choose to do completely direct to printer. If you choose to do completely direct to printer, herein lies the next dilemma after you've made the choice. Where do you put the books? Once you've made the decision, if you're going to include any aspect of direct to printer, you have to know a couple of things. You have to determine on the front end where you are going to house these books. This is your inventory. These are your assets. And as a result of holding inventory, you have to make space somewhere to place all of the boxes and all of the books. So here's a couple of suggestions on how you can navigate that. One of the ways that people choose to manage inventory when they do it on their own is to keep the books at their home. Now, a lot of authors who do not have an extensive amount of space may rule this out on the front end. But don't just yet. I have a couple of suggestions that I will give that can help you even if you don't have the space at home. So let's say you do. You have a garage or you have a basement or you have a spare bedroom and it has not been used. Lucky you. You receive the inventory at your home and decide to place it somewhere in the boxes that you receive. Concern with that is that there is a reason why boxes are only supposed to be temporary. They are to be used in transit, and a lot of things happen to packages when they are in motion from one place to another. How do I know this? Well, I happen to have left the corporate world at the highlight of my career, working as a product manager for the largest pallet pooling company in the world. And when products are moved on pallets, naturally, they have to be protected and shrink-wrapped. However, sometimes things happen that allow for unwanted insects or vermin to interfere with the packaging. And when that happens, if it has been your decision to simply take receipt of your boxes of inventory and leave them intact as they were when they arrived at your home, you're opening yourself up to a risk that you probably never even thought about. Something could live in those boxes besides your books. And when that happens, you basically have to anticipate what that is going to introduce into your home environment. You really don't want to bring rodents into your home. And you also don't want to have to deal with extermination to any extent. So the best thing to do when you receive boxes at your home, if you plan on keeping your books there, is to break those boxes down, remove the books from the packages, and place them on a shelf. It eliminates the need for you to try to monitor the temperature to make sure that there's nothing that can live in and around those boxes, that you're not attracting any additional moisture as a result of storing the boxes in places where there may be dampness. Think about it. Warehouses are temperature-controlled facilities. Unless you plan on converting your home to some type of temperature-controlled facility, you'll want to remove those boxes out of the packages as soon as you receive them. If you have to have shelves built, or if you have to go to your local home improvement store to purchase them, trust me, it's worth it. So that's one thing about the inventory in your home. You can place it somewhere where it's out of the way. What you don't want is also to open yourself up to the risk of damage. Now, when the boxes have been in your home and they go unopened, there's a possibility that weather elements may impact or accidents may occur that could damage your packages, that could also ultimately damage your inventory. And when that's the case, because this is an asset, if you're protected, you can handle that. If you're not protected, you're taking the cost. Here's what I mean. Heaven forbid something strikes, a disaster where there's a flood in your basement where you decided to keep your packages, and those packages get wet. You can deal with the flood, but when the insurance company asks what magnitude of merchandise needs to be replaced, if they aren't covering you for business purposes, they may not cover the cost of the loss of your inventory. Inventory and the quantity of boxes that may be delivered from larger orders, anywhere between 500 and 1,000 or more books, is very costly to hold. In general, you could put yourself at risk for exposure to lose all of the money that you invest on the front end to have those books printed and shipped. While they're waiting, they get damaged, and then you can't sell them anymore. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. Definitely don't want to do that. So at some point, as you consider that you are a small business owner operating from your home, it may be a good idea to get business insurance that covers you. At least having the insurance provide you with that extra layer of protection. You know that your number one asset in moving forward in your self-publishing journey will be protected. Now, talked about protection, talked about making sure you don't have to call a pest removal or extermination company. Let's talk about the other side of things. There's a strong chance that you need to have some books in your possession. It's easier for you to keep track of how many books you have remaining as opposed to going into a box, taking out a few books, and then losing track of how many you have left. If you're thinking about this from a business-oriented standpoint, and you're trying to monitor how quickly you sell through those books, any promotions or any marketing that you put in place to move those books should move the needle. But what you don't want to do is sit too long on the inventory that you have taken in, because ultimately, like I said, it's an asset generated to, of course, help you earn revenue. The longer you have those boxes sitting in your house, it's more of a reminder that you aren't making money from your asset. For some people, that's going to light a fire under your butt. And so if we're looking at that side of it from a practical business standpoint, it could give you the motivation you need to get more creative and to get more agile around how you sell your inventory. So now that we've talked a little bit about how the inventory management side of it works, let's talk about the other side of inventory management that involves using a partner, where it's not something that you hold on your own, whether it's because you don't want the interference with the space constraint within your own home or you don't have the space. Introducing a partner gives you a tremendous amount of power. And the partnership that I'm referring to specifically is in partnering with a third-party logistics company, also referred to as 3PLs. And when you work with a third-party logistics company, they're not only responsible for taking a hold of your inventory, but also for packaging the books, sending them to anyone who's placed the order. And when they ship, they benefit from shipping for lots of other people in addition to you. There's a significant economies of scale that you can receive as a result of allowing them to package and pay the postage shipments on all of your orders. So let me explain what exactly a 3PL is. A third-party logistics company is a company that owns and manages a network, usually of warehouses. And in those warehouses, they hold on to packages for companies that are in a variety of different industries. Once an order is placed, there's a back-end communication between the e-commerce platform that a business may have in place and the third-party logistics company, so that every time an order is secured, the third-party logistics company is notified. They have access to the shipping information for the individual who placed the order. They have all of the materials on hand required to make that customer satisfied with what it is they've asked for. And they have all of the packaging materials to release so that anything from bubble wrap to shrink wrap to envelopes to boxes are on hand. Now, they make an agreement with you for all of the inventory that you are going to hold there for a reasonable amount. They will not only hold your inventory, but send everything out to your customers as well. And when they do that, the economies of scale that I mentioned is that they're ordering all of these shipping materials in a large quantity. And they're also getting really good rates on shipping when they send out any of the orders to their customers, who would be us, as well as e-commerce retailers and even other retailers that might be in more of a mass merchandising space. And when that happens, we get the benefit of having all of those savings passed along to us. So this was the solution that I elected, mainly because even though I have a house, I don't want a ton of boxes all over my house. Even though we have space, I don't want to have to manage through inventory in the way that the volume is going to overwhelm me. And I also don't want to transform my house into a warehouse facility. What makes sense, however, is to have a handful of boxes on the premises. That way, any promotions that are run or any giveaways that need to be available when I'm encountering people just day to day, in networking situations or in instances where I'm traveling and I want to leave behind something more than a business card, well, that's when it makes sense. When I get really anxious about having to feel pressured to get rid of something, I don't do as well as when I can manage and control things. And so for me, the preference is print direct to the printer. I'm also working with a third-party logistics company that can manage all of my inventory, shipping, and fulfillment. And the handful of boxes that are on the premises here at my house will be unpacked and all of the contents removed and shelved in a nice, neat place that has been designated specifically for that. Now, if all of this sounds good and you want to know more about how to navigate the printing, inventory, and fulfillment decisions, know that I am here to help. You can learn all of the details regarding which printers and which partners you may be best positioned to work with for fulfillment, and also a lot of the marketing and promotions that will help you sell through your inventory should you decide that holding inventory with a partner or at your own home is the right thing for you to do. When you decide you're ready, I would love to connect with you in a discovery call. What'll happen during this discovery call is I'll find out where exactly you are in your self-publishing journey and how best I may be able to help you meet your goals. When I invite authors to a discovery call, it's to give an overview of whether my coaching program is the right move for your business. Reach out if you know you're ready to make an investment in your journey and in yourself. There is nothing wrong with keeping your children's book as a hobby, but if you're ready to transform it into something that is profitable, as well as gives you the sense of fulfillment that gives you more of a platform of influence behind the themes and the story that you created, you'll definitely want to connect with me. If this episode was at all helpful for you, leave a review on Apple Podcasts that will help other authors like you find ways to use marketing to better position their books in front of the right readers. Thanks for joining today, and I'll see you next week. Bye now.